Good to be with you tonight. Good to be back home, sleeping in my own bed. I don't care how nice the hotels are, it's nothing like sleeping in your own bed. Amen. And at least when you're in your own bed, you don't need to open your eyes to get up to go to the bathroom. Because you know where it is. And anyway, we had a good trip, Lisa and I, and made it to the airport in time and caught the flight out. Had to go to Kansas City first, and then to Oklahoma, and then Monday we met the folks at Prophecy in the News and visited with them a while, got to know them a little bit. They took us in their studio. There's a little bit more to their studio than there is mine. Mine's a green wall. But anyway, we recorded two TV programs and two what they call news updates. The news updates are on their website. In fact, both of them are on there now. It's prophecyinthenews.com. And then the programs, you'll have to go to their website to find out when it's going to be aired and what channel. They're on satellite, dish network, they're on DirecTV, and then there's a list of different cities that they air their program on in different markets. And so anyway, but it was just a good opportunity. I don't know that I would agree or see eye to eye with the folks at Prophecy in the News on everything, but they didn't tell me what I could and could not say. And so in the 30-minute programs, I found at least one opportunity in everything that I did to say King James Bible. And, just get it in there. They wouldn't object to that, to my knowledge. And then, but anyway, they're offering at least four of our DVDs right now through that program. And I know what's on those DVDs. I know what I said on there. And I hope it reaches some people, and maybe some people that have not been introduced to our ministry yet. I hope it reaches them. Hope somebody gets saved out of it. Amen? I mean, that's what I want. I want somebody to get saved. And I want some saved person to look at their NIV differently. And when I say look at their NIV differently, I mean look at it from way across the room saying, I'm not reading that no more. And you pray that God will bless that. And we got in last night, a little bit tired today. My back and my head is just really, really hurting. Been having problems with it most of the day today. I recorded the Pure Bible study, and it just really started setting in after that. And so that's why I wasn't leading the singing tonight. It was just really, really, really bothered me. And but we're gonna teach the Word of God tonight. And I've got a little help tonight. And I didn't ask him to help me out tonight because I wasn't feeling good. I asked him to help me out because he's got a little bit more expertise in some things than I do. And I appreciate that. So Bradley's going to help us out tonight. Brady was going to help us out, but he's had a rough day today, and he's at home. He's tired. You pray for him, all right? And let's go to the book of Titus chapter 3, and then we'll have a word of prayer. And I appreciate you being with us tonight. I understand you had a good service here Sunday night with Brother John. John, he is everything I say he is. He's just a good man. He loves the Lord. He loves the Bible, and he loves to preach the Word. And God has given him a gift and a blessing. And he tells it like it is, and he's not afraid of that. He's a big fella, and his last name is Uder, U-D-E-R, Uder. And the first time I met John Uder, I said, you're Bavarian German, aren't you? And he said, yeah, my family's German. I said, I can tell that by looking at you and your last name. And Germans tend to be no-nonsense people. They don't put up with a lot of stuff, God has blessed John with he's a good pastor, but if you ask some of the people that he's pastored, they'll say he's the worst thing that's ever happened, but because John there's just some things he don't put up with. And no pastor should really have to put up with it, and he's called some things the way he saw it and the way it's according to the Word of God, and he's had some people hate him. He was in an area in Missouri that is just notorious for, there's some things you don't preach. And he didn't follow those rules, and he went ahead and preached them, and they've gave him a bad name and a bad reputation down in there, and he hasn't deserved it. And so he came up to, I told him he could just come up and fellowship with us and go to church with us. They're having a hard time even finding a church to go to down there. And so anyway, it was just good to have him up here, and I appreciate him and love him so much. And you pray for him and his wife. Right now they're just going around preaching different places. So you pray for him, all right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and pray for one another. Lift up one another tonight. Pray for me. And pray for our church and what God is doing out of this church, that God would continue to just send forth his word out of this place, and that the devil would not have any power over us in while we're trying to do that, all right? Heavenly Father, I love you, and I do thank you, Lord God, for your kindness and your mercy to me. Lord, I thank you, dear God, for the, Lord Father, just the good time I was able to spend with my wife, and I pray, Lord God, that you would bless her. Lord, bless her. Bless my wife, dear God, for standing with her husband. And Lord, at times, she's had to actually help me stand. And Lord, Father, I just pray for her publicly, God, Lord, that you would just give her blessings. And Lord, Father, just touch her in a mighty way. And I thank you, dear God, for what you've done in our lives. And Father, Lord, we just ask, God, that you would just bless the labor. Lord, I didn't go out there. And you know, Lord, you know my heart. I didn't go out there to try to be famous. I didn't go out there to make money. I didn't go out there for anything like that. Lord, they just gave me an opportunity to say what was on my heart. And Lord, anybody that does that, Lord, I just want to go and I just want to tell what I know and what you've helped me with. And Lord, there's so much false doctrine out there. There's so many lies being spread. And Lord, equip your people tonight, Lord, through this church, through Lord, just what I say, but equip them through the pages of this book, God, Lord, to be able to handle and give an answer. Give an answer, Lord, to the false doctrines and the heresies that are floating around out there. And just help people, dear God, to be able to compare the truth with what's false and help them to make the right decision. And Lord, Father, just help us tonight. Lord, it's just been a long day for a lot of people and they're tired. And I just thank you, dear God, Lord, you've allowed us to come into this place. And Lord, help us to lift you up always in everything that we say and do. And we love you, God, for saving us. For keeping us out of hell, God, we love you and we'll thank you for all of eternity, Lord, for that. And we pray this blessing, Lord, upon you and upon your kingdom. And Lord, Father, we ask for your blessings tonight in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And all of God's people said, amen. We close out the book of Titus tonight. And it's really interesting the way he closes this out. In fact, I'm going to read, I'm going to start in... And let's see, let's pick it up in verse 8, then I'm just going to move down to the end of the chapter. Then there's a list, a group here of about all three or four verses that I want to concentrate on tonight. And you'll understand in a minute why I've asked Brother Bradley to come and just kind of share a little bit with us tonight. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, verse 8, by the way, do you believe this? You believe this is the Word of God, amen? And this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. We dealt with that a little bit last week. Now verse 9. But avoid foolish questions. He didn't say ask foolish questions. He said avoid foolish questions when people ask them. Now I'm going to stop right here and I'm going to help this out a little bit with other scripture. The Bible tells us as believers in the Word of God that we ought to be ready to give an answer to them that ask of the faith that we have and the salvation that God has given us. And I believe in that wholeheartedly. And I have made this statement a zillion times before. And I've actually, Bradley has helped me with this because I've asked Bradley several things about his Mormon background and the doctrines and the practices that they have and so on. I remember asking him one time, there's a Mormon temple in the St. Louis area. In fact, it's right next to Missouri Baptist College. Okay? And I don't know if they did that by design or what, just kind of like spitting in their face. But anyway, I asked him, I said, Bradley, I said, I want you to take me up there one time and show me what's in there. He said, you can't go in there. I said, well, how much does it cost? No. You can't go in there. Why not? That's only for the worthy. You have to be worthy enough to enter inside that building. And I'm going, I smell Mystery Babylon. Okay? So he's helped me just with just that theme of the Bible. Is that, and I've said this before, there's not anything about our doctrine, our belief, our practices, or anything like that, that we have to shut the doors and can't let anybody in. Amen. We not only will let them in, we want them to come in to our Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting. I mean, you name it. If we have a church service here, it is for everybody to come in. If we have a doctrine, we don't have a set of books that are locked up inside my office that only the official board members of our church can get to, or only the people who I can trust can read. Everything about what we believe is right out in the open. Can I hear you say amen? We don't hide. If our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost, the Bible says. So we don't hide anything about what we do here, what we believe, what we say. And so if somebody wants to ask you a question, say, why does your church only use this one Bible? Let's give them an answer. Amen. Let's give them a biblical answer. You don't have to be smart. And thank God. Amen. Amen. You don't have to be smart. All you need to do is quote some scripture. And if you can't memorize it, then every now and then, when you hear me preach and you hear a good verse, write it down in the front of your Bible, just the verse reference and what it's about. And then someday you might be able to go to that and say, well, I wrote this down. Yeah, here it is right here. Let me show you, according to 1 Timothy, what the Bible says about that. And you've got it. You see how simple that is? Not everybody can memorize whole portions of Scripture. Sometimes we have problems with John 3:16, getting it exactly the way it's written. But I'm telling you, every one of us has got a Bible in our hand. We have handled the Word of God, the Word of life. Amen? We've got it right here, and we can give an answer to people. But not everybody that asks you a question is really wanting to know your answer. And I've encountered this several times. I encountered this here recently doing a live broadcast, the Pastor Mike Online, that I do twice a week. And I don't take call-ins because there are people out there, believe it or not, that don't like what we do here. Yeah. By the way, one of our websites, WatchmanVideoBroadcast.com, has been hacked again for the fourth time. The fourth time our website has been hacked and had to be taken down. And you pray for Jazz. In fact, I want us to do that tonight before we leave out of here. You pray for Jazz, who runs all that, because she's overloaded right now as it is. And now she has to deal with how to put our website back up and it not be hacked again. There's somebody out after us. Okay? They don't like what we're saying. They don't like what we're teaching. They don't like what we're putting out. Okay? And so they're actively out against us. So somebody, what I do is, I did this on a Wednesday night, I'll take emails and I'll read the emails live on the broadcast, and I tell people, don't write your 14 paragraph live story on there for me to read while I'm trying to talk on this live broadcast. Don't send me something long. Just ask me a simple question and I'll answer it. Well, somebody asked, I don't even remember what the question was, somebody asked a question and it dawned on me that they were, and I didn't really understand the question, and somebody wrote to me right after that and told me what it was about. And what it was, they were trying to set me up. They were, with a foolish question, they were trying to set me up on my own live broadcast, okay, to make me look foolish or to try to make me turn out to be wrong, okay? And I commented on that. I said, you know what, that's just rude to do that. If you really think that you're right about something, then tell me what it is that you believe. Show me the scriptures of why you believe it. And leave it up to God on whose mind he's going to change. Somebody say amen. Amen. Okay? I don't think that just because I went on this TV show that everybody that watches that now is just going to follow us hook, line, and sinker and everything like that. Because people have the choice to decide whether or not they're going to follow this or follow that. Some people believe what they want to believe. Okay? But I'm not out trying to set anybody up to make disciples unto myself. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just telling people what the Bible says. But this guy was trying to, and I've had that happen before. They'll call. They'll call, and I spend a lot less time than Gary does on the phone with them. Guy from Australia calls me. He's trying to trip me up. He's asking me foolish questions. He's trying to get into a contention about the law. And after I pleaded with him for, I don't know, probably 10, 15 minutes, I finally said, I'm done. I'm done talking to you. And I didn't slam the phone down. I didn't throw it up against the wall. I just hung up. And I'm done. I hope this man gets right with God. Okay? But I can tell you that there are people out there who are going to, and they will try to trip you up. And I'll tell you, the number one thing they'll do it with is the King James Bible. Because by and large, they know that you have not sat for hours and read books and studied the issue and studied the manuscript evidence and done this or that and that. They know for a fact. And they heard from a pulpit that they follow some pastor give out this little tidbit of information of why he doesn't believe the Bible. And they'll put that and they'll say, yeah, that's good. And they're just waiting for you. They are waiting for you. And what they're going to do is they're going to try to trip you up with a question that 99% of the time you will not be able to answer just like that. I just pray that if somebody's doing that to you, the Holy Ghost of God will just whisper scripture in your ear and you'll quote it and they'll just sit there and go, and not have anything to say. But avoid foolish questions. Foolish questions, number one, are asked by guess who? Fools, foolish people. They're foolish questions because they have an agenda behind them. They're not asking you, hey, what is it you believe? I'm kind of interested in that. They're not asking you that for that reason. They want to turn you into the same kind of fool that they are. And they think they can do it by trying to trip you up on what it is that you say you believe. So number one, and I always count things. Number one, avoid foolish questions. Number two, genealogies. Genealogies. Number three, contentions. Number four, and strivings about the law. Okay? What is it in the Bible that is for? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You see what these questions are designed to do? They are designed to remove you from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus to another gospel. That's what they're designed to do. So the gospel is that Christ died on the cross, he rose again on the third day, and we are saved by believing what God said. And so when they start asking you, Gary, about the King James Bible, they say, well, according to the manuscripts, or that wasn't in the original text, or this, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to trip you up to get you to disbelieve what's in this book. At the core of all the different Bible translations and Bible versions out there and why we believe the King James, let me tell you what the core doctrine is. Because you won't find a verse in the Bible that says, thou shalt only believe the King James Bible. But you will find the core of the doctrine. The core of the doctrine is that, number one, God inspired every word of the Scripture. Number two, God preserved every word of the Scripture. And number three, God faithfully translated every word of the Scripture so that it's in the language that you and I understand. That's at the core of it. And they will try to get you to disbelieve what it is that you're reading in this Bible. That's a setup. And so they'll ask you foolish questions. They'll ask you about genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. For they are unprofitable and vain. Actually, the two words pretty much mean the same thing. Okay? It's a waste of time. And it's vanity. It will not bring you eternal life and eternal joy that's promised you in the Scriptures. Okay? So I'm going to ask Bradley to come up here now just for a couple minutes and just kind of talk about tonight the Mormon background that he had. And he was, at one time, he was thinking seriously about going on a mission. Am I getting that right? There was a certain amount of training that they were trying to train him and others. Knock on the door. Okay?
here's what we want you to say, and here's some things you need to... And I can tell you that whether it was the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witness or the United Pentecostal or whoever, they're coming to your door deliberately trying to trip you up. Deliberately. Okay? So I've asked Bradley to come and just share for a few minutes tonight what he knows about that. He is the expert.
I wouldn't say that.
Let another man's lips praise you and not your own.
That's right. Wow. First thing I'd like to say is, I remember early when I started getting into Mormonism, and it's funny because they like to use the same verse about foolish questions, but the questions that I was asking weren't foolish questions. They were about the blood and about certain issues, but it wasn't until about, I'd say, a good year or so before I found out that the Mormons had a lot of secrets. A lot of secrets about doctrines that were so clear to me in the Scripture, but that wasn't true according to their faith. And for instance, for a long time, I didn't even know that there were celestial worlds and I had to be married to a Mormon wife in a temple to be saved. And I mean, I thought that was something that was pretty basic on the surface that I ought to knew from the first day how to be saved. And so they start with a, and Mike's right, they try to subvert, they try to deceive you right from the get-go, and they base it on a different book called the Book of Mormon. And they get people to believe that. And I believe that there's been so much doubt on this Bible. Amen. So that people like the Mormons can go in with a different book that says it was translated, it was perfect, and destroy the faith of this Bible. Mm. Something new. And because this is old, you know, King James old. And that's also with the other, the new versions. This is old. We need something new. But here it says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies. And I believe that the Bible says to avoid these genealogies because, I mean, there's really nothing wrong with learning about maybe your family tree, you know, just to learn about your family. But when you use it for salvation, that's when you need to avoid it. And they use genealogies for what's called baptism for the dead. And I have personally been into the Mormon temple up here. And I like to say I wasn't worthy to be in the temple either then, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And but in the Mormon temples, they've got baptisms for the dead. And with that is solely based on genealogies. That is what genealogy work has done for the Mormons. They have the largest genealogy center in the world. And they research genealogies and families, and then you can go and be baptized for the dead. I've personally stood in a baptismal font and was looking at names that I had no clue of the people. We could say Mark, you know, Smith died this date, and I was being baptized for that person.
Mitt Romney has done that.
Mitt Romney has done that. And so that's why they are so strong on genealogies. Because then when you get baptized for that dead person, in the spirit world, they have the opportunity to receive that baptism that you did in their behalf.
You're their Savior.
You are their Savior.
Wow.
You are their Savior. And therefore, they can receive that. But the reason why the Bible says to avoid genealogies for salvation purposes, for his point unto men, wants to die, and after this, the judgment. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall be destroyed without remedy. And when you die, there's no baptism for you. There's no salvation that can be offered to you. And therefore, that's why I believe here Paul says avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions. But, you know, I would say, you know, be ready always to give an answer to people. And what really saddens my soul is that Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, there are people out there who really know nothing about the Bible. And they are going to their doors and they are giving them something that they are looking for. They are looking for something like that. And they are giving that poison to them. And I went on visits with missionaries and I seen families being taught by these missionaries. and being deceived by this false gospel. And it personally saddens my soul that we as the body of Christ are not trying to do more in order to combat their efforts to deceive people and to give the gospel to people that really need the truth. We have the power. We have the message. We've got the truth in the book, but oftentimes we run while they're not ashamed to give their gospel of poison to people. So that's what I have. Now the real expert.
No. Now, hey, tell God thank you for that. Amen. I'll tell you what, I was blessed by that, and I appreciate that. And Megan, go to bed tonight thankful that they didn't have to do that little deal to you in the temple. Amen? Hey, because that's weird stuff. Amen. Putting their hands all over that's not good. But anyway, I'll tell you what, he made some great points here, and I like what he said. He said the Bible doubtcasters have gone around, and he said they've done their damage. They've punched enough holes in the King James Bible in people's minds so that people like Brady and Bradley could show up and knock on their door and say, let me tell you about that Bible you're using. And they see, they've already heard that. The first time I was handed Jehovah's Witness literature, I was studying for a sermon. I was preaching out at Richwoods, and I was studying for a sermon. And I argued with them for a little while, and I took their literature, and I read it. That was a big mistake. Because they, in their literature, they were quoting what I realized later was liberal theologians. They were quoting liberal theologians who were saying the same thing J-Dubs were. Nowhere does Jesus claim to be God. The Bible doesn't say he's God. And they were quoting these liberal theologians who didn't believe the Bible. They were using their poison against me. And I'm going to tell you what, I felt the hooks being dug in. And I had to get down on my, I literally got down on my knees there in the living room. And I prayed, God, deliver me from this. Get this out of me. Okay? And thank God it worked. But I want to tell you something else I want to add in here. He's talking about genealogies. There is something about genealogies that I'm trying to understand right now, and I don't. Okay? But I will tell you that at the core of some of the religious false doctrines that are out there, Mormonism included, is you got to know where you came from. The Christian identity movement, British Israelism, the idea that if you're white and Caucasian, you are of the 10 lost tribes, you just don't realize it yet. That is a heresy. It is a false doctrine. It's not even historical. It has no basis in historical fact whatsoever. But a couple of people have written some books about it and have perverted the minds of some people into believing that if you're white and Caucasian, you're probably one of the 10 tribes of Israel. And that's part of that genealogy nonsense. You trying to find out and mark it down that God's blessing, God owes you a blessing because you're really a Jew, that in itself is false. God doesn't owe you nothing.
Amen.
I don't care if you're Jew or Gentile. God doesn't own you scrap metal because you're still a sinner whether you're a Jew or a Greek. Amen? And the Bible says avoid this stuff. You don't need it. There's the Hebrew roots movement. You don't need that. You don't need to go back and find out how the Jews did everything 3,000 years. The Jews were full of paganism. Okay? So avoid this stuff. Avoid the foolish questions. Avoid the genealogies. Avoid the contentions. I don't normally get into it with people. I don't know that. I spend my week making videos and opening my mouth on camera. And if anybody wants to know what I think about something, just watch 3 or 4 or 10 hours of my videos and you'll pretty much get an idea of what I'm about and what I believe. I don't need to get into an argument with me to tell you what I believe. And I'll tell you what I believe. And you ask me a question, I'll tell you what I believe. Don't come back at me and try to argue with me because I'm not going to do it. I'm not a contender in that way. I'm not a debater. I don't. If somebody invited me to stand and do a debate, I probably wouldn't do it. Because I just don't see that in the scripture. But if somebody wants to come to me and says, Pastor Mike, can you help me settle this thing? Yeah, what's your question? Let's go to the scriptures. Okay, you can do it that way. But anyway, and contentions and strivings about the law. That's another issue there. You don't want to get me started. Okay, because the subverters are out there. And in the absence, you listen to this now, because there's four things here, and I'm telling you that has to do with the real gospel versus a fake gospel.
And the fake gospel will always look exactly like this. Grace is not sufficient. Now let me tell you what I mean by that. God saved you. It was grace that caused you to repent. Your repentance did not bring God's grace. It was God's grace that caused you to believe the Bible. It was not your belief that merited God's grace. It was God's grace on you that caused you to believe the Scriptures. God gave you faith. It was God's grace that caused you to repent. It was God's grace that brought you down to an altar. It was God's grace that made you weep. It was God's grace that made you say, God, I want you in my life. I want to be saved. I don't want to die and go to hell. It was God's grace that did that. And I want to tell you something else. It's God's grace that brought you into this church house some 5 months, 5 years, 5 minutes, 50 years after you first got saved. It was still God's grace that was holding you in, not your works. It's impossible. The Bible tells you it's impossible for works to not only save you, it's impossible for works to keep you saved. Go read Ezekiel 33. I love it because we had this rule at work. We had the rule that if you got so many attaboys and pats on the back, well, you know, you're in good shape. Maybe you get an hour off one day, okay? But when you got one, oh, and there was an expletive after that one. When you got one of those, there went all your attaboys. Same rule, isn't it? Did you know that's in the Bible? Read Ezekiel 33. God said, in the day that the righteous man commits a sin, all of his righteousness is gone. Said, I don't want to hear about how you keep the law. I don't want to hear about how you do this. If you do that, that's fine. If you want to do that, that's fine. Yeah, I think you want to do it because you want to honor God in something. I don't have a problem with that. But when you come after me or my people in this church or anybody out there watching, and I consider the people that are watching us tonight, that's our church. Those are our people. And I'll fight for them as much as I'll fight for you. And I'm not about to let the wolves come in with the law. Saying, well, yeah, you are saved, but you got to do this and you got to do that to keep it. Uh-uh. I'm not buying it, and I'm not going to put up with it. It's not going to be preached out of this pulpit, out of this church. You want to get your message out, get you a camera and a YouTube channel like I've got, and just do whatever you want. Okay? But I'm going to set people free with the law, with the law of the grace of Jesus Christ and nothing else. Can I hear you say amen? By the way, it's the great. It is great. You're here tonight. Did you know that you're doing the works? You're performing good works by coming into church tonight and saying amen. See, didn't that feel good? It's good works. Did you know it was the grace of God that caused you to do that? It's the grace of God that puts that smile on your face and you sitting there nodding your head. That is the grace of Almighty God in your life that produced that. Your works do not produce grace. Amen. So, avoid that. Then verse 10, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject. Now, for some reason, God never let me give up on either Brady or Bradley. He never let me give up on these guys because I always detected in them a desire for the truth. Amen. A desire for the truth. Amen. And I never rejected them. Okay? I was kind of iffy there for a while. Okay? And I just, God, I love them. I want them to be saved. With this whole church be praying for you guys. God save them. God save them. God save them. Whole church would be doing that. And God finally did it. Be careful about who you are giving up on. Amen. Make sure God's in it. Make sure God's in it. But at some point, and when you admonish somebody, you don't take a baseball bat and hit them upside the head with it. That's not admonishing anybody. You're just trying to be right. You're trying to win the fight. Admonition is always gentle. Admonition is always gentle when it happens. I would encourage you as born-again believers to practice biblical admonition. And I don't mean just about doctrinal issues with people that you know. I'm talking about admonition between husband and wife. Admonition from parents to children. Now, I know that every now and then, God will use a very stern, loud voice against me. And it will get my attention. And I know that as parents, sometimes we have to use a very stern,
forceful, loud voice. It's either that or you get a whipping. Whew, is right. I would rather me or my wife to my children give a loud voice first and a warning. Fire warning shot. Okay? And I'll even, my kids know this. I'll even do this. Okay? I'm like John Wayne standing there going. See that? Okay? I believe God has warned me several times with a strong, loud voice. Okay? And if that didn't work, okay? But I'm telling you, I think we ought to learn admonition. Biblical admonition. Husbands and wives admonishing one another, not chewing one another out, not yelling, screaming one another, throwing stuff across the house, and admonish one another. Okay? But and do that with people that are not buying this Bible. Be gentle with them, admonish them, encourage them. I'm going to tomorrow, if God's still in it, and I believe he is, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to record a video called The Case Against Rick Warren. The case, the biblical case against Rick Warren. He is the top dog as far as this, as far as Christianity in this country. And he is a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Amen.
Okay? And I'm going to spend some time just in some things that I've gathered. It's not going to be rumor. I'm not going to talk about his lifestyle. I'm not talking about what he's got in the refrigerator. I'm going to talk about what he said and show how it's contradictory to the Bible. Okay? And I pray that I do it in an admonishing, gentle way. Because I have to. Because you know what? And some of you are around then. When I first took over this church in 1996, I went out and bought a book on how to build a new modern church. And it was all about what Rick Warren was doing out in California and how his methods were working. And I was buying into it. I almost followed that rascal. Okay? And the Holy Ghost began to admonish me gently.
Amen.
Mike, that's not how it is. Mike, come out of that. Mike, don't have that heavy metal rock concert you were going to have. Don't do that, Mike. And it was gentle admonishment like that that brought me out of that. So just because you got smart aleck with some guy on Facebook, that doesn't count. You didn't admonish them. All you did was smart off about your little pet doctrine. And you know exactly what I'm talking about because you've probably done it. If you haven't smarted off to somebody on Facebook or YouTube or whatever, okay? But I'm telling you, that's not admonishment. All you're doing is encouraging them to stay where they are with your smart mouth. How many of you know that? You smart off to me, I'm just going to go, you know what? Let's go. But a pastor, on the day before I was going to have the heavy metal rock concert, after I had been called and chewed out by other people, one pastor called me. Hey, Brother Mike, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. God melted my heart.
Amen.
And I got on my face before God. I said, God, I'm sorry. I repent. And it worked. So learn the gift of admonishment. It takes grace. Amen? Not to smart off to somebody. So learn that, all right? A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject. At some point, you do have to walk away, okay? Knowing, listen to this now, knowing that he that is such, who is it? He's the one that's trying to set you up with foolish questions. He's the one that's talking about your bloodlines. He's the one that's talking about contentions and the law and how you got to do this and how your Bible's wrong. He's the one, he has, you know what his problem is? He has been subverted. And I like to break words down. The word sub is in there. And that doesn't mean a 5 foot long sandwich. Sub means underneath. A submarine is, you know what submarines are good for? They come in, they're all about sneak attack. Coming in under the radar, coming in where they can't be seen, coming in under cloak of cover. And someone who is
who is subversive is always trying to get in without being noticed. Jude mentioned certain men crept. When you creep, you're doing it in a sub way. You're coming in down low like a snake. A snake is a creeping thing. Right? And they are creepy, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay? So certain men crept in unaware. They didn't walk in and say, we want to talk about the doctrines of the Bible. We think that we need to follow this guy. They don't come in that way. They come in a subversive way under the guise, under cover to come in and sneak in into a church or congregation. Okay? They will do it here. One way or the other. They'll do it here. They'll try to bring in and try to, and you know what? They know that they won't be able to get to me with the false doctrines. So who are they going to go after? They're going to go after you guys. Okay? Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to do a John Wayne if I see it coming. Anyway. Let me read you what the Bible says about subversion real quick. Listen to this. Let me tell you how I know that subversion is not a Christian tactic. Now, I had Bradley come up here for a specific reason. He admitted up here that he was supposed to go and not tell them everything. Deliberately hide the truth from them. Deliberately hide the truth from them. The more he found out, the more he realized it was not biblical. There was doctrines that he knew was not in the Bible. But he was supposed to go and be subversive. That is not a tactic to be ever used in Bible Christianity. Let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
I'll read you the verse. Lamentations 3:36. Write this down. Turn there if you want to and underline it. Lamentations 3:36. To subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. God never endorses subversive tactics to try to win someone to Christ. Never. If you're ashamed of your doctrine, don't go out and try to tell somebody. But don't lie about it. Don't try to slip it in. Don't try to sneak it in and all of a sudden maybe they'll follow you. Don't do that in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. God doesn't approve of subversive tactics. Years ago, they used to, I don't know if they still do this. Years ago, they used to go around a little clipboard and had a little religious survey. We did it here at this church. When I was a teenager, doing little religious surveys, we weren't trying to gather information. We were trying to get somebody to open the door and listen to us. Why then couldn't we just knock on the door and say, hey, we're from Bethel Church. We'd like to invite you to church if you don't go somewhere. By the way, we have a track, we have DVD. If you'd like to talk about the Lord, maybe you have some questions. We care about your soul. We want to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he died. If they slam the door, move on. But don't go in there and say, you know what? We'd like to cut your grass. Do they do that really? Okay? Subversive tactics are not biblical. Amen? If you can't handle being a Christian up front, then don't try to be one. Acts chapter 15, verse 23. This is the issue over circumcision, and can Gentiles be saved without keeping the law? And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain men, certain which went out from us, have troubled you with words, subverting your souls. They went out bringing in false doctrines, subverting people's souls, pulling them away from the gospel, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. You listen to the apostles. The apostles didn't send them out. I had a preacher friend of mine. He was starting a mission work, a home mission work, and here in some, I think it was out in Oklahoma City. I remember this from years ago. And he said they was meeting in a YMCA building, and he got there early to set up chairs and this, and the guy showed up early. Well, you know, when you're starting a mission work, you know, you're just glad somebody walked in the door. And so you're glad and welcoming him. You know, guy's helping set up chairs. He's there way too early. And so the pastor just kind of talked to him a little bit. And the guy just, you know, hey, I just want to help out here. Just want to help out. You starting a church, just want to help out. You know what he found out? That guy was charismatic.
And he really felt that God told him to go over there and subvert that church by giving him the gifts of the Spirit. That subversion. Okay? And so you know what? You listen to this. I know that I'm nothing. I'm less than nothing. I'm dirt. I'm just... And God has made me to be one of you people. And I like it that way. But if somebody comes to you with a doctrine that has not come from your pastor, you better not believe it. God works through biblical authority. The reason why they came to you, there was a guy that was visiting this church from New Zealand. And I detected early on that had I not had my eye on him, he would have tried to subvert this church into bringing commandments especially to the ladies. He was all about head coverings. And he said, he told me, I've been kicked out of most churches that I go into. And I realized why. He was wanting to subvert this church into following his doctrine. Okay? And he brought it to me, and I said, the last time he came, I had a little time with him, and I said, don't bring it up. Don't bring that up here. Don't bring that up to my people. Okay? Now, is he right? No. What if he was right? It's not his job to come into this church and bring that in. If God wants it in here, who's he going to give it to first? Who did he give this King James Bible issue to? And then it's out there. I'm just telling you how it works. It's subversion. Okay? 2 Timothy 2:14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. Don't get into the arguments. But to the subverting of the hearers, because there's people out there looking for people who can't answer all the questions, and they will pounce on you like a lion on a lamb. The subverting of the hearers. Then he's, you know how he followed it up? Study to show thyself approved unto God. Amen. You know how to beat these rascals? Just learn Scripture. Amen. Learn Scripture, learn Scripture, learn Scripture, learn Scripture. And they'll say something, and immediately the Holy Ghost will quote Scripture to you, and you'll go, you know what? That's wrong. And I don't know exactly where it is, but I remember this verse, and I can tell you that is wrong. Somebody say amen. Amen. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. By the way, it is rightly divided. Amen. Old and new.
Yes.
Amen. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more godliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. You know why you don't get into conversation with these people? Because they're going to try to plant a seed in you, just like the dragon or the serpent planted a seed in Eve. He planted a seed inside of her mind, and it worked. And just like dummy me taking the Jehovah's Witness literature, because I'm justifying it, I'm saying to myself, that'll keep this out of somebody else's hands. They'll print more. They'll never run out. Okay? And I read it, and their word was eating as a canker in my mind. You know what canker is? Cancer. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Okay? You be careful about who you're getting into an argument with. Their word will eat as doth the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Don't think it's not possible. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And then, going back to the beginning of Titus, and we're going to stop right here. We'll be done with Titus. And I'm probably going to go to 1 Corinthians. Titus chapter 1, verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers, deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. The Jews hate the gospel. And I really suspect that at the core of a lot of these cults, including the Jehovah's Witness, including the Mormon doctrine, including this Hebrew roots movement, and all this stuff where you say, well, you got to keep to this and you got to do that, and the Seventh-day Adventist movement, at the core of that is the circumcision. The Jews, who still are all about, you got to keep the law in order to be saved. You got to keep the law. If you're not keeping the law, you're going to go to hell. Isn't that what that guy told you that day, Gary?
Yeah, almost exactly the same thing.
If you're going to church on Sunday, you're going to hell.
Right.
That's it. whose mouths must be stopped. Well, there's one way to do that. Amen? There's other ways, better ways. Who subvert whole houses. Teach it. That's what you were out to do. You know where he was going? He was going to houses. Let's get this whole family involved in the Mormon ideology. Let's get he was subverting whole houses. Megan, tell God thank you. Amen. God's given you a wonderful husband. Amen. Come on, Megan, say amen. Amen. All right. She just followed the woman to be silent. Amen. She's just being silent. Teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. How rich is the Mormon church? The Mormon church is probably one of the most wealthy religious organizations in this whole country. One of them sells even a prophet of their own. Boy, it just sounds like, amen. Said, the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to, here it is, Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the faith. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them which are, that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and their conscience is defiled. That there are people walking around right now that are, listen, they're not going to get saved. Now, it's not up to you to determine that. It's not up to you to judge that. But I'm just telling you, the Bible's telling you that their mind has been so perverted and their conscience so, you know, it's been seared with a hot iron. That means nothing's getting in and nothing's getting out. They're not changing their mind. They're not ever going to change. The Bible calls them twice dead. You know what that means? They're just walking around waiting to be thrown instantly into the lake of fire. They're already twice dead. Whew. They're not going to be saved. I haven't seen God yank anybody out of the lake of fire yet and say, you know what? I think I can save him. It doesn't happen that way. And if they're twice dead, their conscience is already defiled, and you're trying to argue with them, you're trying to reason with them, and I'm telling you, they're not getting saved. That's why he tells you, admonish them. But after the second admonition, you get away from them. Because instead of you changing them, young ladies and young men, listen to me. God gave me a gift. I dated a girl in high school that was Southern Baptist and good Christian girl. We went out a few times and had a good time, and we'd call each other every night on the rotary telephone. And we would talk. We'd talk about church, and we'd talk about, you know, doing things in our church. And then it turned to doctrine. And she made a really snide comment to me that her pastor had told her about Free Will Baptists and how they're wrong and they really aren't saved. That didn't do much for the relationship. And I went, excuse me. And I stood my ground, and we didn't go out no more after that. We were done. That was it. I was not going to follow somebody and change what I believed in because she felt good. Or she was good looking. I wasn't going to do that. Amen. I've been taught in this church, you date a Christian.
Amen.
Okay. Now I'm admonishing you. I'm not chewing you out. I'm not hitting you over the head with it. This is admonition. I'm saying this gently. Okay. God gave me a gift. Okay. Not only was Lisa of the same faith. She's right out of the same church. And she's got as much love for this place as I do. And God put us together here in this church. We were married right here. Okay? And God put us together. And when God began to deal with me on issues, God was dealing with her own issues. And she has stood behind me every step of the way. When you watch what's on the prophecy in the news, she was sitting right there. Okay? Now, she was not the studio audience clapping and woo, you know. I asked her, how was it? She said, I don't know, I was reading. She's heard it all before, okay? But she didn't think that she had to correct me all the way home saying, now, when are you going to quit doing this stuff? Come on, knock that off. That's not who she is. God has put us, can two walk together except they be agreed? And God has put us in agreement on nearly everything. Okay? And God has helped us with that. Because I'm telling you, I mean, I love her. But I'm not giving up my faith and my stand for the Lord for her or for you or for you or for anybody else. I wouldn't do it for my dad. I wouldn't do it for my mom. I wouldn't do it for anybody. I wouldn't do it for my kids. My kids say, Dad, when you're going to have an intervention with you now over this stuff, too bad. I love you. See you. But I ain't backing down. Yeah. Young people, you consider that. Make sure that they believe what you believe. It won't work. It won't work. Let's stand to our feet. I mean, really, here's this girlfriend. Okay? I had a girlfriend. I mean, we were in band together. We liked music. We were in choir together. We sang. We're both in church. And she said, well, my pastor said, you guys aren't even saved. Scratch. Well, I'm glad I didn't buy her a ring. Let me say this before we close. There was another young lady. She went to this church. She went to this church. Her mom and daddy didn't go, but she went to this church. And she wanted to go out with me. We went out a couple times. Okay? I found out from her cousin that all I had to do was ask, and she would be in on it. She was easy. Okay? And I had to really pray about that. And I thought, I don't want that. And you know what? I didn't have to break up with her. God broke us up. I'm glad. Amen? I'm glad. Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you, dear God, Lord, for, man, when you saved me out of a lot of stuff. And God, you have kept me. God, you've had grace on me. Lord, I'm only standing here, God, because of your grace, nothing else. Lord, you've just removed my ability to be proud of anything I've done because it wasn't me. It was you through me. And I thank you for that. Lord, help us to love people that don't know what we know and don't believe what we know. Help us to love them. Help us to want to encourage them and admonish them and teach them. Lord, just some people just don't know, and they just need to be taught by the right person. And Lord, help us to be those teachers, people that will give out the true faith. But Lord, help us not to fall after them. They're already subverted. There are people out there, Lord, that are like that. Lord, their conscience is seared. They're already twice dead. And Lord, Father, we may not ever know who that is, but you do. And God, keep us away from such people. Lord, we're telling you tonight, God, we are declaring to you tonight, God, that we want to go to heaven when we die. And Lord, we're asking you, God, while it's easy right now, Lord, we're asking you, Lord, you keep us. You keep us, God, because we're not sure that we have the ability to keep ourselves. And so you keep us by your grace. We love you for that. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Bless us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.